Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be exploring this story from the Bible, from Kings, and it's really all about leadership legacy and, wow, the pitfalls of human reasoning. We're diving into the life of Jeroboam today, guided by insights from a lecture by Dr. John Oswalt. It's a story that might seem ancient, but it's got lessons that I think still resonate even today, you know, thousands of years later.
Yeah, Jeroboam's story is definitely a fascinating one. You know, you think about this guy, he had this huge opportunity to lead the northern kingdom of Israel, but the choices that he made, they ended up casting the shadow for centuries, and not just on his own life, but on the entire nation.
Yeah, it's that lasting legacy thing that really gets me, you know, for better or for worse. Dr. Oswald points out that every king who followed Jeroboam in the northern kingdom, all of them, for like 200 years, they continued down this path of straying from their faith.
Right.
It really makes you think about the weight of the choices that we make, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It really does. It makes you wonder, why was this pattern so easily followed? Jeroboam's reign happened during this time of transition and upheaval. The kingdom had split in two. People were looking for stability, for something to hold on to, and Jeroboam, maybe out of fear, provided that something, but it was a distorted version of their faith.
Okay, so he was trying to solve a real problem, like how to unite his people and keep them from yearning for the old ways, the old kingdom. But it sounds like instead of turning to, well, you know, divine guidance, he took matters into his own hands, so to speak.
Exactly. He was facing this political dilemma. How do you prevent your people from switching allegiances back to the southern kingdom when they're traveling there three times a year for religious festivals? It's a valid concern, but, you know, Dr. Oswald highlights that there's no indication that Jeroboam actually sought God's wisdom in this. Instead, he relied on human reasoning, on what just seemed politically expedient at the time.
Right. Okay, so walk me through this human solution, because it sounds like things took a bit of a, shall we say, interesting turn.
Interesting is one way to put it. So Jeroboam decided to create golden bull idols, and he placed these idols in these really strategic locations within the northern kingdom, and it was essentially providing, you know, these alternative places of worship. And to really solidify this whole new religious system, he altered the religious calendar, and he even appointed priests from outside the traditional Levitical lineage, you know, the Levites being the tribe that was designated for priestly duties.
Wow. Golden bull idols. It's hard not to think about the whole golden calf incident.
Yeah.
You know, the Exodus story. You think that would be a cautionary tale, right? I mean, why bulls? What was he thinking?
You know, it's a question that scholars have debated for centuries. Some suggest that these bulls were meant to represent Yahweh, that's the Hebrew name for God, but in a way that was more tangible, more accessible to the people. It's possible he saw this as a way to bridge the gap between the people and their understanding of God. However, even if that was his intention, it was this dangerous distortion of their faith. It's like, imagine trying to explain that the infinite, all-powerful God using a symbol that's so earthly, so limited.
Yeah, it feels like a huge step backward, right? Like they had just escaped from this culture of idol worship in Egypt, and now here they are again creating these physical representations of the divine. It really highlights the danger of repeating past mistakes, of not learning from history.
It really does, and it really underscores the importance of understanding the true nature of God, you know, of not trying to fit him into a box that we create. The golden bulls become this really stark symbol of that misunderstanding.
So Jeroboam is making these, let's call them unconventional choices.
Mm.
Dr. Oswald suggests that fear is at the root of all of this. So how does fear play into Jeroboam's story? And what does that tell us about the choices that we make in our own lives?
Yeah, fear can be a really powerful motivator. And, you know, in Jeroboam's case, he was afraid of losing his kingdom, you know, of his people returning to the southern kingdom and pledging their loyalty to Rehoboam. And that fear drove him to make these decisions that ultimately, you know, compromised his faith and led him down a really dangerous path.
Yeah, there's that quote from Dr. Oswald's lecture that really stuck with me. He said, how often fear is the mother of sin?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so simple, yet it's so profound. It makes you think about all the times that we might be making choices out of fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of the unknown, instead of trusting in, you know, something bigger than ourselves. Have you ever experienced that in your own life? Like that pull to make a decision based on fear rather than faith?
Well, absolutely. I mean, fear is, it's a universal human experience, and it can be so insidious because it often disguises itself as practicality or even wisdom. You know, we tell ourselves we're just being realistic, that we're making the safe choice. But when we let fear dictate our actions, we close ourselves off to possibilities, to the potential for growth and transformation. You know, in Jeroboam's story, we see that fear not only leads to sin, but it also creates this kind of spiritual blindness.
Yeah, it's like he couldn't see the forest for the trees. Mm-hmm. You know, he was so fixated on holding on to his power, on preventing his people from leaving, that he lost sight of the bigger picture of the values and the principles that were supposed to be guiding his leadership.
Yeah. Precisely. And this is where we see this concept of the slippery slope come into play. You know, it's like once Jeroboam made that initial compromise by setting up those golden bulls, it became easier and easier to make further compromises. He changed the religious calendar. He altered the priesthood. He basically created this whole new religious system that was based on his own fears and desires rather than on the foundations of his faith.
Yeah, it's almost like one bad decision paves the way for a whole bunch of bad decisions.
Yeah.
And Dr. Oswald uses this phrase. He talks about how the devil tempts us to go all the way once we've started down a wrong path. Have you ever noticed that in your own life? That tendency to justify bigger and bigger compromises once you've taken that first step off the path?
Yeah, it's a subtle but powerful force, you know, and we start to rationalize our choices. We tell ourselves, well, I've already come this far. You know, what's the harm in going a little further?
Mm-hmm.
But the danger is that we gradually lose sight of our moral compass. We become desensitized to the consequences of our actions.
So we've got this, you know, ancient king making choices based on fear, choices that ultimately led him and his people down this path of spiritual compromise. So what are we supposed to take away from all of this? We're not ancient kings. We're not setting up golden bull idols in our backyard.
Yeah.
So how does Jeroboam's story apply to our lives today?
You know, I think the key takeaway is recognizing the responsibility of influence that we all have. You know, Jeroboam's choices didn't just impact his own life. They had this ripple effect that impacted generations to come. And while we may not be leading nations, we all have these spheres of influence. You know, our families, our friends, our communities, even our online networks, right? The choices that we make, whether they're big or small, within those spheres have consequences.
That's a powerful thought, that we're all leaving behind some kind of legacy, even if it's not on the scale of a king or something. So if Jeroboam's story is the cautionary tale, what's the antidote? How do we avoid falling into that same trap of making those fear-based decisions that lead us away from what we know is right?
Well, I think it starts with awareness. You know, we need to become more attuned to the ways in which fear might be influencing our decisions. What are the fears that are holding us back? What are the fears that are driving us to compromise? And once we identify those fears, then we can start to challenge them.
So it's not about pretending that fear doesn't exist or trying to ignore it. It's about recognizing it, acknowledging its presence, and then making this conscious choice to act in spite of it. It's about saying, okay, I'm feeling afraid right now, but I'm not going to let fear, you know, control me. I'm going to choose faith over fear.
Exactly. It's about like shifting our perspective, about choosing to trust in a power that is greater than our fears. And this leads to another crucial element, which is seeking guidance. You know, just like Dr. Oswald challenged us to do, we need to be actively seeking wisdom, not just human wisdom, but divine wisdom.
So not just relying on our own limited understanding and experience, but actually taking the time to connect with something larger than ourselves to tap into that source of guidance and direction.
Yeah, and that might look different for different people. You know, it might involve prayer, meditation, studying sacred texts, connecting with nature, or simply sitting in stillness and listening for that inner voice of wisdom. The key is to find what works for you, what helps you access that deeper level of understanding and insight.
But sometimes, even when we seek guidance, the answer we receive isn't what we expect or want to hear, right?
Right.
Like it might challenge us to step outside of our comfort zones to do something that seems risky or unconventional.
That's true. Sometimes the path of faith requires us to let go of our need for control, you know, to surrender to a plan that is bigger than our own limited vision. Mm-hmm. And that can be scary. It can feel like we're stepping into the unknown. Mm-hmm. But it's often in those moments of surrender, of letting go, that we experience the greatest growth and transformation.
It's like we have to trust that even when we can't see the whole picture, even when we don't understand why things are unfolding the way they are, that there's a higher purpose at work.
Mm.
And that's where faith comes in, that willingness to believe even when we can't see the evidence with our own eyes.
And that faith, that trust, is what empowers us to make choices that that align with our values, even when those choices are difficult or unpopular. It's what allows us to leave behind a legacy that is rooted in something deeper and more enduring than our own fleeting desires or fears.
You know, this whole conversation has really given me like a whole new perspective on Jeroboam's story. It's easy to read about him in the Bible and think, wow, what a mess this guy made. I mean, golden bulls,
right.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But when you kind of dig a little deeper and consider the pressures he was facing and the fear that was driving him, it becomes a much more human story.
And a much more relatable one, I think. You know, we may not be facing the same kind of political dilemmas as Jeroboam, but we all experience fear. We all face those moments where we have to choose between taking that safe, comfortable path or stepping out in faith and doing what we believe is right, even when it's hard.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, what if Jeroboam had taken that step? What if instead of giving in to fear, he had sought God's guidance, had trusted that God would provide a way through that difficult situation? How might the story of the Northern Kingdom have unfolded differently?
That's a question that Dr. Oswalt poses in his lecture, and it's one that I think each of us can ponder in our own lives. You know, what choices are we making today that might be shaping our own legacies, the legacies of our families, our communities? Are we allowing fear to kind of dictate our actions, or are we choosing to act with courage and integrity and a deep trust in something beyond ourselves?
Yeah, it's a challenge for sure, but it's also incredibly empowering to think that even in our ordinary everyday lives, we have the opportunity to make choices that can have this positive ripple effect on the world around us.
It's about recognizing that we're all part of something bigger than ourselves, something that connects us to each other and to a source of wisdom and guidance that is far beyond our own limited understanding. And when we tap into that source, when we choose to act from a place of faith and love, we become part of a story that is still being written, a story of hope and transformation and the enduring power of the human spirit.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the life of Jeroboam. It's been a fascinating journey, and I hope it's left you with some food for thought, some inspiration to dive deeper into your own life and consider the legacy that you're creating. Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.